January 15th, spring 2003, business 123, introduction to investments. Frank Faiano, let's get started. All right. Course description. This is class is an introduction to basic investment principles, including the markets, stocks, which are also known as equities, bonds, also known as fixed income or debt instruments, mutual funds, the legal term investment companies, insurance products, interpretation of financial statements and other financial data and information, brokerage accounts, and the relationship of economic and political conditions to investing. Now, I didn't include that. We don't talk a whole lot about politics in here. Course content, investment environments, risk and return, risk and return, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, markets and transactions, investment strategies and tools, portfolio management and asset allocation, options and futures, contracts, and real estate and other investments. So that's the entire class. Now, we are going to concentrate on risk and return, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, and a few other tools, portfolio management. We'll take a look, a little book at options and futures later on, a little book at real estate, gold, and other things. Sound cool? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, where's the book? I mean, who's got a book? Anybody got a bunch of books? Okay, you can use either the 4th, 5th, or 6th edition. Which one's this one? The 6th. How much did they hit you for?
I got it on Amazon for like 60 bucks.
There you go. All right. I'm going to show you the website, and there are links to Amazon, Half, Valore, or Valore. Dollar books, and there are many other places that you can buy books online for a whole lot cheaper than going to the bookstore. I don't care if you use the 4th, 5th, or 6th edition. They are all basically the same. They come out with a new edition every 2 years, whether they need to or not, and they charge you $200 for a new book. So it's up to you where you want to get the book, how you want to get the book. The book is for reading. I can't put everything in the book in the presentations. Like, we can't go over everything. It's a little dry. But it's a good book. It's a college textbook. If it were up to me, I'd use a different book for the textbook, which is not a textbook, and we'll discuss reading later on and books to read. Now, you need a notebook. I suggest you get a three-ring binder. All right? Why? Because I'm going to give you copious. You like that word, copious? It means a lot. Right? I'm going to give you copious notes and handouts and assignments and all that, and you get a little three-ring binder and put them in there. These things, they can work, but...
No, I'm not going to use that.
Not going to use that?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, those things, like Joe, when Pence holds that up, Joe, those things, they're a little problematic because everything falls out, but hey, it's up to you. Daniel, all right, great. So, you need a calculator. Now, folks, please don't use your smell phone. Please. Go to the 99-cent store and get a 99-cent calculator. Buy four of them, okay? All you need is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Are you with me? You don't need exponentiation. You don't need graphing. You don't need programmable calculations. You don't even need squirt. Okay, you don't even need a calculator that can do squirt. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, square root. So get a 99-cent calculator, and that's what you're going to use. You need dedication, organization, motivation, hard work, and jokes. Good jokes. Got any good jokes? Guys aren't learning, I'll tell you. Not a good sign. Hey, did you hear about the alligator that walked into the bar? Yes, you heard. Well, you can tell the punchline. So this alligator walks into the bar. Have you heard this one before? And he orders a beer. And the bartender gives him his beer, and the alligator's drinking his beer. And the bartender looks at him and says, "Are you having troubles at home? Any problems with the wife?" And the alligator says, "No." And the bartender says, How about work? Troubles at work?" And the alligator says, "No." And the bartender says,
"Why the long
crate?" Why the long crate? He's an alligator. He's got a long face. They get worse. So bring good jokes. Bring good jokes. I had one student in this class. He was from Iran. And remember, every culture has different ideas of what's funny. He said, "I have an Iranian joke." I said, "Okay, fine." And he said, "The two bank robbers went to the bank to rob the bank, but it was Sunday." He said, "That a penny in their hand. You know, like I say, everybody has different. So now attendance and lateness. Don't miss class, folks. Now, obviously, sometimes you're going to miss a class. And that's, you know, fine. Everything is going to be on the website. I'll show you the website. You can listen to the lectures because I record them. I have presentations for the online students that are already done. So you can watch those. If you want to take the class online, show up here every once in a while, that's fine with me. Talk to me during, after the break, after I'm done. But don't miss class, because that thing means you get behind, and you dance in that class. That's not an excuse. That's a confession. So please, don't miss class. Don't come late. That's a disruption to the other students. So it's 9:30. You can get up, right? You can get up by 9:30. You can get here by 9:30. Grading. Now, does everybody want to get an A?
Yeah.
That's what I want you to do. See, we're supposed to grade like this, right? This, you've seen this? Have you seen this?
Okay.
The bell curve, lots of C's, a few F's, and a few A's, and D's, and B's. But what we find here, and I'm not the only one who sees this, is we get something along these lines. We get lots of F's and D's, few C's, lots of B's and A's. Now, what's going on here? These are the people who are remotely sober when they arrive to class, relatively aware of their general surroundings, are not a part of that new religion. I don't know where you guys got this religion, but part of the religion is you can't do your assignments. You're not supposed to submit to your assignments. Thou shalt not submit thine assignments, for it is an abomination unto me. My dear Lord, saith the Lord. Turn in your guard work, will you? It's not that hard. And these are the people who are not remotely sober when they show up to class, not relatively aware of their general surroundings, get called away to Cabo San Lucas for an emergency. I think their car had a baby or sister needed a new transmission. Lots of grandparents die every semester. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how many grandparents die every semester? Grammy, I have a paper due in this one class and I have a big exam in the other class. Would you mind dying? Okay, sweetie, no problem. And then what did the counselors tell you to do if you're failing a class? Right, drop the class. So this is what happens. You wind up with a distribution of something like this. Lots of B's and A's and few G's and S because these all drop. And then they say you're doing grade inflation. But, you know, I'll buy it. I want every single one of you to get an A. And you can if you motivate yourself, if you get here on time, aware, turn in the assignments, study for the exams. I give you a page of notes to take to the exam. This stuff is not that hard. It's trivial. It's a lot of trivia. I shouldn't use the word trivia. Tedious. There's a lot of tedium you have to go through. But it's not that hard. And you can get an A. So I'm going to make a deal with you. All right, you ready? I don't do this with every class. If every single one of you get an A for the next 10 years, providing I live that long, each and every person, new person I meet, I'll say, hi, my name is Frank Piano, and my business 123 Spring 2013 class all got A's. No. 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 No, not even close. So, okay. So, will you do? Are you with me? Is that a deal?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, don't plagiarize. If you want to work together, that's great. In fact, I want you to work together. Make friends. It's a great way to study, but turn in your own work. Time requirements. For every one unit, you've heard the drill. 2 hours. It's about an hour a day. Every day. Listen to the presentations. View the presentations. Do your notes. Read the book. Do the assignments. Get online. Much of it is online, folks. You do a lot of the work online, which you guys love to do, right? While you're chatting to that woman in Chicago who you think is listening. Anyway, accommodations. Because all the studies show that learning is repetition. You have to come back, do it again, do it. Look, you know, you can go back and forth. That's the way to learn. You can't learn it all in one day. It doesn't work. Some people can. There are some people who can. They're very few and far between. I'm not one of them. Accommodations. If you have any accommodations you need, whatever, you contact me within 2 weeks. We refer you to the Academic Success Center, folks. We have tremendous resources. We want you to succeed. Are you going to have these kind of resources at the university level? Well, more and more, yes, but nowhere near as much as the community college level. Because we know many of you don't have very good study skills. And so you join one of these groups at the Online Writing Center, the Writing Center, the Math Center, the Reading Center, the Academic Success Center, and you make friends and work together and you'll do well. Now, how do you get in touch with me? It's very simple. After this class is the college hour, and sometimes I have to go to a... but often I'm free, so contact me after class. Then I have another class at noon, and then I have my office hour. But I'll meet you before class if you contact me. Call me. There's my home phone number. There's my office number. Don't call after 8:30 or so, 9 o'clock. Don't call. But you can call early because I wake up pretty early. And then student learning objectives. Just forget that. Or yes, what we have to do. But notice the last line. What is it?
Wonder Professor.
Right. Wonder Professor. What is the class website? And everybody has to say it. You all have to say it. You read it, you see it, and you say it, and say different things going on in the back of your head. What's the website?
Wonder Bread.
Can you remember Wonder Bread?
Yeah.
Hostess, right? Can you remember Wonder Woman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Can you remember Wonder Professor?
No.
No? Okay, well, I tried my best. I thought of shoes. I didn't think I had one of my...
dressed like Wonder Woman.
What if I dressed like Wonder Woman? No! Nobody would come to class. It's hard enough to look at me with my clothes on. Okay. I often wonder if one of her powers, especially all those women superheroes, is one of their special powers... the ability to fit themselves into those costumes? That's a special power. Okay, so now, what's the website? Okay, because it used to be that this was the website. This is in fact, other professors still use this. It's the college website /tilde. You can't find the tilde key. And then your first initial and your last name. Nobody can spell my last name. And people will come up to me and say, I think your website was down. No, my website's not down. It's very good. It's wonderprofessor.com. And there it is, folks. There it is. There's my better side. No, my bicycle. And a few things that you may need if you don't have Orifice. Microsoft Office. If you don't have Office, you can get a free Office software, word processing, spreadsheet, database, presentation manager at OpenOffice. It works pretty well. If you don't want to deal with them, you can get a free presentation viewer to download the slides and the like. Have you gone to ratemyprofessors.com yet? Okay, check it. It works pretty well. You have to be careful to read between the lines because sometimes students have an axe to grind. If this teacher was all awful, and then somebody else say, no, I don't understand what was wrong. She was okay. You know, she was hard. She was tough. And so check it out. We'll look at some of these other things. But here's the most important one, right? Click links, business 123. And notice that on the front page, on the home page, is always the next exam, right? It'll tell you when the next exam is. So people say, when's the next exam? It's right there. And then that's the same link up there. And then a few links down at the bottom. Or if you're selling Klein, you can take a look at those. But this is the most important thing right here. That's the same link as this link right here. And this is where you're going to be spending quite a bit of time. Not as much as the online students. But every single handout I give you here, is also up here. So you got the syllabus in your hello hands?
Yeah.
Right? You don't. You do? You have a syllabus? Okay. If you see that, if you lose it or whatever, bingo! Ta-da! There it is. That's the syllabus, okay? So all the handouts I give you are up on the website. So if you lose one, what can you do? Yeah, you can grab another one or take a look at it online. Okay, questions, thoughts, ideas. And then everything we do, all the presentations, they're already saved in MP3 format. It didn't work yesterday. Let's see if it works today. Hello. Oh, boy. They tell us to use the internet.
Good morning.
There it is. So it's MP3 format. So you can store it on an MP3 player, CD, or in Flash format.
Good morning.
Okay, so this is obviously, this is for my online students. You with me? You understand? But you can check it out too.
Thank you for
Okay, so everything we do, what? And it's also going to be, this is going to eventually be up here, right? By the end of the day, this will be down here. So you'll be able to listen to the lecture again. Are you with me? And if you have an Apple iPod or iPod Touch, iPod, pad, and then an iPhone, they don't do Flash. So if you try to click on these, this will work. These are MP3s. But this won't. It'll say, I can't do those. They're Flash. You can go to iTunes University and search for Business 123, BUS 123, and bingo, you will see them there also. Okay? So I do my best. I know you millennials, you're all hooked into the wired world. Did you get a syllabus? You got one. Okay, good. I'm sorry. All right, so there you go. I'm trying to stay with the times. And then there are the links to just few of, I don't get any kickback. There's no, money coming back to me or credit coming back to me. These are pure links. Sometimes you click on a bookseller, there's a kickback that goes back to the place you linked from. And they're trying to make a living, but I don't get any kickbacks or anything. So click on these, and folks, you can buy the 4th edition or the 5th edition for $20, $50. Look, brand new, $100. Like new, $15. All right? You with me? So is there any excuse for not having a book? Is there any excuse for not having a book?
No.
Good. And there are 2 books on reserve at the bookstore. I mean, at the library, I'm sorry. Now, what's that?
Back thing.
The back button. Yeah, the back button. Did you get it then? Back button. Let me show it to you again. You go to the website, and then you click the back button. There's a seat right over there, sir. I see it right there. So that's what you're up against. The jokes get worse. It's hard to believe, but the jokes do get worse. Now, you got the syllabus? What do you do with the syllabus?
Put it in
your binder, quickly forget about it, never look at it again, right? No. Look at the back. Look at the class schedule. That is what we're going to do. And we do our best to stay on target. And if you want to go ahead, great. I'll point you in the right direction. If you get behind, please contact me. Get together with one of your students, friends, because that's the single most reason people drop out. They just get behind. And they go, I give up. But this is it. This is what we're going to do. And we usually get through the entire semester. But the emphasis is always placed on everybody understanding and using what is covered. Cool? All right. Now, so any questions about the syllabus? Huh? No? All right. Got to help me here. Help these guys over here. Here's more. So we're ready to start, folks. We're ready to get moving. Yes. We actually do work today, folks. You're going to learn something. Well, maybe. I'm going to present something today. How can I know if you learn? That's a difficult problem, and it's called checking for comprehension. And I'll show you what I use on Thursday. What I use to help. Yeah. See if this is working. Okay, just when the people at the back have to be, or some more, you have to be a little bit on the ball because there'll be extras coming back and forth, not enough in some or in the other. You see, I'm going to give you a bunch of handouts. That's why a 3-ring binder really does make sense to get started. All right, now, this is the handout assignment notes sheet for our first section. It's mostly from Chapter 1, but there's also a little bit from Chapter 3, Overview of Investment Types. The problem with the book in Chapter 3 is that they go into too much detail. If you read Chapter 3, or when you try to read it, and you find that you're bogged down in detail, just close the book. Make sure you read Chapter 1. Chapter 1 is very good. We do our best to consolidate it up here. But make sure you read Chapter 1. If you get bogged down in Chapter 3, then just close the book. Now, the short-term assignments at the very bottom, The book does not do a very good job. So that's just strictly from our lecture notes. So you got that? Here's your study guide. At the university, are they going to give you one of these? Probably not. You're going to have to create them on your own. And so I hope you, this is an idea we use, priming the pump, getting you ready, showing you what is required, is what is expected of students, and I hope you do that likewise. Let's get started. A perspective. It is a gloomy moment in history. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, commercial chaos, drifting we know not where. Of our troubles, no one can see the end. Did you see this on the news last night? On Weasel News. It's John Boehner. Weasel News. Skunk News. Fox News, right, Fox News. Fox News. Was it on Fox News last night? When do you think this was said, written? When do you think?
A long time ago.
A long time ago. How long ago? Last Tuesday? For you millennials, last Tuesday was a long time ago. When you ask people when this was written, when this was said, today they mostly will say 1930s, Great Depression, 1940s, World War II, right? No, 1847. Harper's Magazine, 1847. Did they have people back in 1847? Did they have magazines in 1847? What was going on in the 1840s in the United States of America? Not yet. Not yet, but... No. The Civil War was brewing. Right? The war between the states was brewing. The Great Compromise was about to be a bargain. They were going to compromise. It didn't work, right? What was the Civil War really over? What was it over? It took us a while to fess up, but at first it wasn't about slavery, was it? We said it was about states' rights and intervention by the federal government. But the reality was that were we going to keep this peculiar institution? What a great name. Peculiar institution. Don't call it slavery. Call it a peculiar institution. Were we going to keep this peculiar institution running? And the country almost split apart over that. Did they have serious problems back in 1847?
Yeah.
Do we have serious problems in 2013?
Yeah.
How did it get to be 2013? I used to say, I become my father, now I become my grandfather. Not yet, he still doesn't have any kids. Do we have serious problems?
Yeah.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Thank you. It goes faster if you answer. Does that equate to fatal?
No.
Not necessarily. There will always be people predicting gloom and doom. And you know, sometimes they're right. But usually they're not. Since the 1840s, we've done okay, folks, believe it or not. Since the 1930s, since the 1940s, since the 1970s, we had another great economic problem. And we're pulling ourselves out of this one. I will normally err on the side of optimism. Why? Because it turns out not only are the optimists happier, they're also wealthier. Optimistic investors usually do a whole lot better than pessimistic investors. No guarantees! But I hope you'll agree with me. You don't have to. And if I see a problem, I'm not going to be Pollyannish. You know the Pollyanna. I'm not going to just say, oh, don't worry about that. We have to worry about it. We have serious issues to deal with. So let's get started on our section one. We call it chapter one. But the first part of chapter one, or the chapter one itself in the book, is a brief history of risk and return. And this is the entire class in a nutshell. Risk versus return. In risk versus return, we find the eternal struggle between whether you want to eat well or whether you want to sleep well. What a great line. Now, I would have not used the word interest here. I would have said investment rewards or investment return. But J. Kenfield Morley, doesn't that sound like a great name?
J. Just tell he's got a blue suit on and a charcoal gray.
In investing money, the amount of interest you want should depend upon whether you want to eat well or sleep well.
Can I have both?
No, sorry. How do you make a small fortune in the stock market? You start with a large fortune. Did you get it? It's a joke, right? Yeah. You make a small fortune by starting with a large fortune. That's it. We're going to discuss that quite a bit on Thursday and then next Tuesday. We're going to really hammer the idea of risk versus return. Then we'll take a look at an overview of security types in much less detail than the book does in Chapter 3, and then discuss short-term investments. What I've tried to do here is create what I believe should be the contents of a first chapter of an introduction to investment books. If I were going to write a book, I would combine these two into a single chapter as the first chapter. But I'm not writing a book. What is an investment? We start from the very beginning. So the very beginning. Did you think you needed any kind of prior knowledge before you took this class? Did you? Some people do. They see what's on the television. They see the talking heads talking about what's going to happen, what happened in the past, and what might happen, what may not happen. But no, you don't need any prior investment experience. We start from the very beginning. And this is an important definition. Now notice it's italics. Do you have to write it down? No. Everyone should say no. Wait till I ask you. Do you have to write it down?
No.
Why?
This is online.
And if you don't have a presentation viewer such as PutridPoint or PowerPoint list or whatever it's called, you can get a viewer from Microsoft or many other places and then copy and paste it into your word processor or whatever. Whatever you want to do with it. Not whatever, but close. An investment is any vehicle into which resources can be placed with the expectation that it will generate positive income or that its value will be preserved or increased or both. Do you understand? There are three things we have to look at. Income, preservation of capital or increase of capital, and reasonable expectation. So remember those. And the trick is, there are just all different types of investments. Investment returns, some people call the term rewards. I like returns, but they both work. Come in the form of income, which could be interest on a savings account or a bond. It could be dividends, which are paid by stocks, companies, equities, or it could be rent. And what do we get from real estate? Rent. Are you with me? We also go, snap your head, yes.
Okay.
If you go like this. In this culture, when we understand, we go like this. When we don't understand. Or you can go like this. What does that mean? Over my head. Yes. Only have to say a word, you millennials. And my wife teaches at Kuyumaka, where they have a really young, sharp guy. He's a millennial, like many of you. He allows the students to text him a question. I draw the line. First of all, it cost me 20 cents of text. And I don't have to send that many. I can't stand texting. But you're 12 feet away. You can answer. All right. Also called cash flows. And then the other is the one that people tend to concentrate on when they talk about investments. How much money am I going to make? Is the capital going to increase? We call it capital gains or capital appreciation. Capital appreciation or capital losses. Boost. Right, exactly. And investments come in all shapes, flavors, and sizes. And Dylan, can you catch this? Put it in the trash. Got it. These things aren't cheap, by the way. So what we're going to do now, over the next 30-some months, is we're going to take a look at the various different types. Now, do you have to understand anything about these?
No.
More than what is up here? No. All you have to know is they exist. And then you're going to go back and do it again. And look at them again and understand them again. And right now we're flying at 40,000 feet. Whatever analogy you want to use. We're looking at the surface of the onion. We're going to pull away various labels as we go through. The types of securities include, I'm sorry, types of investments include securities, property, and personal. Now, we used to call this class investments and securities. And people will go, I'm not an administration of justice major. I don't need that. No, not that type of security. A security is an investment that represents debt or ownership or the right to acquire or sell an ownership interest. No, I don't like that. We should just kind of strike it out and go look at it later. But it's a financial investment. Another name for this is a financial investment. When you put your money in the bank, you are essentially opening up a security. Because on this piece of paper, now it's all electronic now, it says, I have $100 in the bank. When you buy one share of McDonald's, that's a security. Now it used to be, you have a sheet of paper that said, I have a share. But it's all electronic now. You own a piece of McDonald's.
A little tiny piece.
Yes.
Can you actually buy one share?
Yeah, you can buy one share. If you want, Google's $600 a share. Right? Or maybe it's a little more now. Apple's down to $500 a share. So you might want to buy just one share. They used to dissuade you from doing that. They wanted you to buy 100 shares. And there was a historical technological reason, which we'll take a look at later on. But that's gone now. You can buy as many shares as you want. In fact, you might have heard of a company called Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett. Yeah. His one share is worth $120,000. $130,000? Well, yeah, they own Geico. You're absolutely right. They also own American Reinsurance. But they also own a ton of Coca-Cola, a ton of McDonald's, the Washington Post, Dairy Queen, what else does he own? Yeah, Burlington Northern Railroad. He owns a whole bunch of stuff. And we'll discuss them later on. See what I mean? And then when you buy a bond, a loan, you are owning debt. Yeah. You play the part of the bank. That's a security. So don't get scared by that word. We don't like to use it with normal people because they go, huh? But I like to use the term financial investments. Now, property. Real property. I always never liked that term. Because is everything else unreal or imaginary? What is real property? Real estate. Why is it called real? You can't move it. It's attached to the ground. That's the legal term for real. If it's attached to the ground, it's real estate. And that's what they call it. I don't know why, but that's what they call it. Back and look at the history. And then personal property, precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, automobiles. Some people invest in automobiles. And some people have done very well. And other people have crashed up to a $35,000 investment. Art, collectibles, sometimes called hard assets, tangible assets, commodities. And we'll spend a little bit of time on those. And then personal investments. Education, folks, is often the best investment you will ever make. And why is that?
Because you're investing in you.
Because you're investing in yourself. You're often investing in your earning power. And you're making yourself a more well-rounded and potent individual. Are you with me? We concentrate on securities. And so we have classes on real estate. And we'll spend a little bit of time on real estate, but not much. Now, we then categorize investments into primary versus derivatives. Oh boy, do we open up a whole can of worms. The legal right to acquire a debt or asset. We're going to concentrate on primary assets. At the end of the semester, we'll take a week or a little bit more than a week, depending on your interest, and discuss derivatives. All you have to know is that these things derive, there's the word, derive their value from something else, a different security or an asset. They are normally highly speculative. Now, what does speculative mean? What does speculative mean? What? You bet. And whenever you see the word speculation or speculative when it comes to investments, what do you replace with that word? Guess is a good one. Gamble. Gambling. We don't gamble in the industry. No. We speculate. Yes, very good, very good. We speculate. No, they do the big Las Vegas, they gamble. When you see the word speculation or speculative, yeah. Now, Does that mean that derivative is an investment? Go back a few slides. What was the investment? What was the definition of an investment? Reasonable expectation. If you're gambling, do you have a reasonable expectation of getting income or preserving your capital? No. So many in the industry, myself included, I tell you my bias is right up front because you're going to find somebody else who disagrees, and that's okay. I mean, there's room for disagreement. You've heard the saying, everybody has their opinion, right? As long as it's mine, it's fine. As long as they agree with me, it's fine. You can have your own opinion as long as you agree with me. There's two sides of every story, yours and the idiot's. So we'll discuss these a little bit at the end of the semester. All you need to know is that they derive their value from an underlying asset. And if you remember that two of the major examples are options and futures, great, but you don't even have to remember that. Two of the major examples are options contracts and futures contracts. We normally just call them options and futures. But what we're going to spend most of our time on is debt and equity. Debt is funds lent in exchange for interest income and the promised repayment of the loan at the given future date. So those are bonds, and we'll spend a lot of time on bonds because they're very important, and short-term investments, savings accounts, CDs, money market accounts. We put our money with these people, they pay us interest, and they promise to pay it back. Now, is it always guaranteed? No, bonds in general are not guaranteed. But when we put our money in a savings account, is it guaranteed? Up to $250,000 now. It used to be $100,000, now it's $250,000. The federal government, if your bank goes under, will come in there and bail you out. What about equity? Well, that's the fancy term for stocks. And people in our industry tell us, don't use the word stocks. Certainly don't use the word stock market, because most people think it's a malignant casino. And there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. But what we're told to say is, use the word business. Business. A corporation. Yeah, whatever. And then property. That's equity also. Real estate. So you got that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. The next type of investment category is the idea of whether it's a direct investment or an indirect investment. And this we will learn about in detail when we take a look at mutual funds because they're the biggest indirect investment out there now. A direct investment, your name is on the investment. You control the investment. You can buy and sell as you wish. You have 100 shares of 3M. Who are they? Who is 3M? Minnesota Mining and Materials. They make Scotch tape and Post-it notes and 100,000 other different products. You can believe that. Most of them are all flat. They're a great company. Look them up. 3M. MMM. I'll show you how later. I'll do that. You have 100 shares of 3M. You can buy and sell your shares anytime, right? Your name's on the account. You own a house or an apartment building. Your name is on the account. You're a direct investor. Now, indirect investment, then somebody else is in control of the investment. And the big one for that is a mutual fund. When you invest in a mutual fund, somebody else is deciding whether or not they want to buy 3M or Honeywell or IBM. Are you with me? You can call them up and say, hey, I think Apple's a great buy right now. And they'll go, thank you very much. Hang up. So you have your investment in the mutual fund, but the mutual fund invests in the stocks and bonds or whatever they're investing in. Same thing is true for a REIT. Isn't that a great name? Say it. REIT. Reedy old righty. Real Estate Investment Trust. They invest in real estate. And you can invest in real estate indirectly through a REIT. And then limited partnerships, same idea though. Okay, the next category, how are we doing for time? Not bad. Is whether it is a domestic, an international, also called foreign, or global investment. Now, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Domestic means based inside the United States, and international means based outside the United States, and what does global mean? Well, this is a distinction that you need to understand. Global means both international and domestic. You see, in the U.S., outside the U.S. and global, todo el mundo. Right? All the world. So it's a very subtle distinction. You need to understand it. Because if you invest in a global mutual fund and you invest in an international mutual fund, you're investing in two different things. With me? Nod your heads yes. Okay. Be careful of this subtle distinction. The world is a very small place these days economically. A very smart person said once. And according to Forbes, 65% by value of the parts in a Ford Mustang come from the United States and Canada. Whereas 90% of the parts in a Toyota Sienna, built in Indiana, come from the United States and Canada. So which is the more American car? Huh? 65% of the parts in the Ford Mustang come from the United States and Canada. 90% of the parts in the Toyota Sienna, it's a minivan. Right? It's built in Indiana. You know, somewhere near Santee out there. Which is the more American car? The Toyota Sienna. You go down to Mexico, and you can buy Fords and Chevys and Dodges, all built in Mexico. And Toyotas and Hondas built in the United States. Figure that one out. So the world is a very small place these days economically. In fact, let's take a look at some famous companies. You've heard of most of all these companies, haven't you? And where? Just looking at them. Which ones are based outside the United States? Which ones are based inside the United States? Just name a few. What do you think? Budweiser is domestic. Mother Bud. How can you get more American than Budweiser, right? No, it's foreign. It's actually Brazilian and Belgian. What? Wait a minute, we're still on Budweiser here. It's now called InBev Anheuser-Busch, or Anheuser-Busch InBev? InBev, I don't know. Figure that one out. So let's go to Shell Oil.
Warren?
No,
Warren.
They own Houston. They also own Niagara. They used to be. They own quite a bit of, yeah. It's a Royal Dutch Petroleum, used to be their name. Now it's called Royal Dutch Shell or something like that. And it's a Anglo-Dutch, Netherlands consortium, but it's been called a company which is a country unto itself. They own Nigeria. Right, so they're foreign. But Shell Oil. What about Ben and Jerry's? Not anymore. They're now owned by Unilever, which also owns, I forget what the other, Breyers Ice Cream or something like that. How about Farmers Insurance? They're now based in Switzerland. Right, Scudder, what's it called? Scudder, Arco.
Foreign?
Yeah, it's owned by British Petroleum. And before the spill in 2010, they all said, Arco, a BP company. And then they took the BP company away. And now we're Arco again. But now they're putting it back. Have you noticed they're putting it back at the BP company? Gerber's.
Foreign.
How about Carnation?
Foreign.
How about Cup of Soup?
Foreign.
How about Fox Network?
Foreign.
Oh, come on.
Foreign.
You don't agree with Fox. You're not American.
Foreign.
You are a subversive liberal. Tommy Pinko faggot if you don't agree with Fox News, right? They're American. They waved the flag. They're based in Australia. I love it. They attack everybody as being anti-American, and they're not even American. Seagram's. Canada. Bayer. You said it before. German. Vaseline. UK. Friskies. France. Motel 6. France. Union Bank. Japan. Volvo and Saab. Come on.
American.
Well. Wait a minute. Volvo used to be owned by Ford. Saab used to be owned by GM. But now Volvo is owned by a Chinese company. And Saab is owned by a tiny little company based, I think, in Denmark or in the Netherlands called Stryker. Anybody motorheads in here? Any motorheads?
Saab, something about Saab.
Saabs are great cars, folks.
Yeah.
The problem is they never sold enough of them. And if you've taken the managerial accounting, you know you have all these fixed costs. When you have a plant to build vehicles, you have all these huge fixed costs. You have to make a certain amount of them before you can even break even. And that's the problem with Saab. They're great cars. People own them, love them. I wouldn't buy one because they're, you know, the repairs are outrageous. But they're... And there's just not that many. That's the problem. There's not that many of them. And that's the problem with cars. You have to get enough of them to have a critical mass. So they're now domestic. I mean, they were domestic, now they're foreign. So, let me ask you a question. Okay. Here are the top 18 countries according to per capita income. Right? Per person. In alphabetical order. Which one do you think over the last some odd 25 years, a little longer to update the information, which one do you think did the best? Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, Norway, Singapore, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, or the UK or USA? Switzerland. Japan. Over here in the cheap seats? Hong Kong. Sweden. Sweden and Netherlands and Denmark and Switzerland, Germany, they have universal health care. How can they do that well with universal health care? And the United States? Not bad. 9.5, not bad. Japan, Singapore, Italy. Why are these at the bottom? What's going on with these countries? They're shrinking. They're shrinking. The countries are shrinking. In the United States, we're basically replacing the population. It's growing a little bit, slowly. Right? And you go to Japan and Italy, they don't want to have kids. They don't want to have kids. It's a problem, isn't it? And if you go there, especially Italy, and I think France, too, they'll pay the women to have babies. Come on, have a baby. We'll pay you. Okay. So are you with me? Does that mean you shouldn't invest in the United States? No. We'll come back to this. Relax. I want you to remember this slide. We'll come back to this. So now, we have to categorize our investments depending on our time horizon. Probably the most important aspect is this a short-term investment? Is this an intermediate-term investment? Or can we hang on this for the long term? And these are the general guidelines used throughout the industry. Short term is up to a year or so. Intermediate term, 2 to 5 years, 5 or more years. I take a little bit more longer view, personally, but that's me, and everybody's different. Before you make an investment, you must know your time horizon. So we'll come back to this idea over and over again. But can you remember those numbers?
Yeah.
Get them in your head. Remember, they're fuzzy. You don't have to be perfect on them. But if someone says, I got this great short-term investment, it's going to make you a ton of money, what do you think?
No.
I got this great long-term investment, it's probably going to make you a ton of money if you can wait 10 years. What do you think?
Yep.
Let's take a look. Yeah. Now, is your investment liquid or is it illiquid? Now, what does liquidity mean in the investment world? Yeah, exactly. Can you cash it out? Nothing to do with how much beer we have for the weekend. It means, is it easy to turn it into cash? And most of the investments that we will discuss all semester long are very liquid. You have your mutual fund, they'll buy it back from you. You have a bond, a stock, somebody wants to buy it, providing it's a quality company. Real estate investment trust, no problem. What's the poster child for illiquid investments? Real estate. Is it easy to sell your real estate investments?
No.
Not always. Sometimes, during the housing bubble in the early 2000s, you put out your house up for sale on Thursday afternoon, and by Saturday you got 5 offers, and you sign the deal on Friday. I mean, on Sunday. But not anymore. Now it's kind of too difficult. Now, risk versus return. We will come back to this all semester long. Risk versus return. Risk is the chance that the actual investment returns will differ from what you expect. What is the typical definition of risk? Well, when you think of risk, what do you think?
Losing.
Harm. Danger, right? What? Well, if it turns out okay, it could be good. It's what he said, it could be good. The problem with that is you can't measure it. You really can't measure it. So in the industry, what we do when we talk about risk is we talk about statistics. We use statistics to describe risk. And it's a very imperfect measure. It's a horrible measure because when it actually happens to you that you lose 20% in one day, your $10,000 investment became $8,000. Do you care about statistics? Even though you knew that this was going to happen, somebody told you it was going to happen, it's happened in the past, but when it happens to you, it's a whole lot different than saying, okay, well, statistically, I'm still okay. We'll spend a lot of time on that. And everybody has their different guidelines. But for me, 3 to 5% is low risk. In general, 5 to 8% moderate, 8 to 12% is high risk. And some people say, what are you talking about? That's not high. Oh, yes, as far as I'm concerned, it's high. Anything above 12%, I consider speculative. Which is another word for
gambling.
Everyone should say?
Gambling.
Everyone should say?
Gambling.
Thank you. I don't consider it investing. You're going to hear different from different people. You're going to hear different things. So, let's try some examples. How are we doing for time? Good, we got 10 minutes. All right, you ready to put your thinking coop on? All right. What type of investment is a Bank of Armenia passbook savings account? Bank of America! That's right, Bank of America. And passbook savings account, you millennials have never even seen a passbook, although I hear some credit unions still use them. What are they? They look like a passport. And you would bring your passport, a passbook in, you bring your passbook in, they'd stamp it when you deposited money, and they would stamp it when you took money out. But it's all electronic now. Although I hear some people still use these passbooks. So it's a savings account at Bank of America. Is it a security or a property? It's a security, right? It's a financial investment. It is something. It's not a real asset or a hard asset. Is it debt or equity? It's debt. You lent your money to the bank, and they owe that money to you. You understand? Is that, we don't think of it that way. That's my money. Yeah, it's your money, but you lend it to them and they promise to pay you interest. right now they're not paying anything. It's 0.01%. And they pay your money back. Is it direct or indirect?
Right.
Your name is on the account. You don't have to be right. You can say to Roy, well, I'm not going to hit you. It's direct. Is it domestic or foreign?
Foreign.
Where is Bank of America based?
Oh, it's
Charlotte, North Carolina. Believe it or not. Charlotte, yeah, still, Bank of America is still American. Is it short term, intermediate term, or long term? We, after we take this class, will consider a savings account short term. Some people consider them intermediate and long term. These people have not taken Business 123 yet. Is it low, moderate, or high risk? Very low. Right, very low. Unless you have over $250,000, it's basically guaranteed by the United States government. Is it liquid or illiquid? Very liquid. You go to the bank and say, I want my money, they give it to you. Now, if you ask for it in cash, $70,000, what might they do? Well, yeah. They're going to say, you need to come back tomorrow, because they don't keep that much cash in the bank. Plus, they will call the FBI and report a suspicious transaction, because you're probably a drug dealer or a terrorist or both. That's the Patriot Act. Okay, how about, what? America. Is Nestle sued? Is that a security or property?
Security.
It's a security. It's a stock. You buy an investment in Nestle's. Who are they, Nestle's? It's the world's largest food company. Who's the second world largest?
Kraft.
Right. Debt or equity?
Equity.
It's a stock, so it is equity. We own that piece of the Nestle's. Direct or indirect? Direct, your name. Everybody try to say something. You don't have to say, you don't have to be right. You don't have to be right. Just say something. You don't know it. Was it direct or indirect?
Right.
Your name's on the account. Your name's on the account. You're direct. Is it domestic or foreign?
Foreign.
Switzerland. The world's largest food company is based in Switzerland, but it's like Royal Dutch Petroleum. It's a company which is a country unto itself. Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term?
Long-term.
Normally, we consider stocks to be long-term, and I would consider it a long-term investment. But Nestle, it could be an intermediate-term. But stocks as a whole can fall, and you can lose a lot of money, even though Nestle ain't going to go anywhere anytime soon. But we normally consider stocks long-term. Low, medium, moderate, or high risk? Somebody, everybody, say something. Yeah, I would consider Nestle a moderate risk. Normally, stocks are high risk. Normally. When you look at a stock like Nestle, yeah, it's a global blue chip company. What does that mean later on? Is it liquid or illiquid? Very liquid. Somebody wants to buy your Nestle shares. You put them on the market, and they'll go. They'll go. How about Southwestern College Propositions AA and R bonds? Huh? Have you seen the banners? Thank you, South Bay. Proposition R funds at work. You see, we're working on the football place. You guys were working on the stadium? We didn't raise it. We didn't have a bake sale to raise that money. We sold bonds. We made a loan to the investment community. Is that a security or a property? Security. It's a financial investment. Is it debt or equity? Debt. It's a loan. We sold those bonds. We made that loan, and investors bought that debt. Is it direct or indirect?
Right.
Mostly direct. It's on, your name is on the account which has the bond. Unless a mutual fund bought them, and you own the mutual fund, then it's indirect. Do you see that? That's how it works. Domestic or foreign? Well, I know some people call us Tijuana Tech. But there is an Instituto Tecnológico de Tijuana. Okay, so we're not Tijuana Tech. Is it short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Yes. Bonds normally are considered intermediate to long-term. There's a way for them to be short-term, but they're normally intermediate to long-term. Low, moderate, or high risk? You think I?
No.
No, it's... Well, you know what? You have to look at the underlying source of where the funds are coming from. The funds are not coming from the college. We went to the voters of South Bay and said, hey, we're Southwestern College. We need money to fix up the campus. It's 50 years old. Will you lend it to us? And the voters said yes. And in return...
They get a football field.
They get a football field, and they have to pay higher property taxes every year. That's how it works. So if you believe that the property in this area, we're going to go through yet another, it's stabilizing, folks. The housing crisis hit Chula Vista like a ton of bricks. This is one of the ground zeros around the country. But I would not put it in the high risk. You might put it in the moderate risk, but we're coming out of this. Let's say low to moderate. How about that? Will you take that? Okay. Normally, you would consider it very low. But if people stop paying their property taxes, stop paying their mortgages, you understand what could happen to those bonds? We'll see that later. Are they liquid or illiquid? Generally liquid. Bonds are fairly liquid. Somebody wants to buy your bonds. The thing about bonds is people usually buy them and they hold on to them. Whereas stocks, they're buying and selling all the time. Well, people buy their bonds for interest and they hold on to them. Now, what about a duplex in Spring Valley? Security or property? Everyone should answer this. Property. Is it debt or equity? I own it. Direct or indirect? My name's on the title down at the county admin building. Domestic or foreign? No. Spring Valley. Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Real estate, in my humble opinion, should be considered long-term. And this is where we went astray in the 2000s when we started thinking short-term real estate. I'll buy it, sell it a year later, make 50%, 100% of my money, 200% of my money. And that's what got us into this mess. Liquid or illiquid? Normally, real estate should be considered illiquid. It takes time for you to buy and sell property. How about Qualcomm? And by the way, it's supposed to all be uppercase, but I have a trouble with that. Qualcomm, what is it? It's a stadium, right? What is Qualcomm? Oh, here's our resident expert. That's good. Phone, not quite a phone company. Close. Tell us. They make the chips. Do they actually make the chips? No. They get somebody else to make the chips. They make the system. That somebody else manufactures in Portland. What? Oh, they're in Carmel, Sereno Valley. They're all over San Diego. And they make, I'm sorry? They're right. The people work there in Gonzo. They love it. They love it. They get free food and they get treated really well. Yeah, they get, some people got very rich with their stock. They make CDMA. which stands for can't do much anything. No, I'm sorry. Code division multiple access. So if you have a Sprint phone or if you have a Verizon phone, you are using Qualcomm technology. You're using, if you have an AT&T or T-Mobile, you're using GSM. Am I right?
That's literally Qualcomm.
Which is, I thought that was Nokia.
On top of it, says Qualcomm.
So Qualcomm's making GSM now?
Yeah.
What if Nokia?
But Qualcomm is just TDMA is just for United States.
But wait a minute. Nokia created, this, I have to talk to him. He's the expert. Didn't Nokia create GSM?
No. Qualcomm did start it, but then Qualcomm took over
because
they became a
state
powerhouse.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, we need experts. This is where you need the experts. Okay, is it security or property?
Security.
Who wants to say security?
Security.
The stock. Is it debt or equity?
Equity,
because it's ownership in the company. Direct or indirect?
Direct.
Your name's on the brokerage account. Domestic or foreign?
Foreign.
It's based here in the United States, but they make most of their money outside the United States. Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Sorry? It's technically domestic because it is domiciled here in the United States, but they make most of their money outside the United States. Coca-Cola makes 80% of their money outside the United States.
Yeah.
Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Normally, we like to think of stocks as long-term. But intermediate would work, but intermediate, don't think of them as short-term, folks, unless you want to be a gambler, a speculator, I'm sorry. low, moderate, or high risk? Fairly moderate to high. Liquid or illiquid? Liquid, somebody will buy your shares. Now, the last one, a loan to Uncle Harry. Every family has an Uncle Harry. Tio Lucas, right? Every family. You lend him money. So is it security or property?
Yeah.
It's security, but we really shouldn't use the word. Anything that resembles secure. Is it debt or equity?
Debt.
It's funds lent in exchange for interest and a possible repayment of the debt. Is it direct or indirect? You're the sucker, has it on your name. Domestic or foreign? Domestic until he sends you a postcard from Peru. Short term, intermediate term, long term, or forever? Yeah, long term. Low, moderate, high, and then liquid or over again. So can you now look at an investment and take a look at the different categorizations? It takes time. Don't worry. Go back over and view this over and over again. On Thursday, we will take a look at an overview of investments and fly a little closer, but we're still sitting up in our jet airplane looking down. Excited? You want to be rich someday? All right. Those of you who came in late or need to add, see me. See the rest of you on Thursday.